There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Sitting across the board from me, Mr. Timothy Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening.
Well, here we sit on the night.
Brokenhearted.
Yes. We are sitting here the night before our Waverly event kicks off. I mean, we did our registration today. Everybody's all signed up. Thank you guys for covering that today. And we are going to go in and investigate Waverly for the next two nights, Tim. Now, you didn't get to go last year.
No. The FCC was in town.
Right, so you were making sure we were all compliant and stuff.
Compliant.
Are you excited about this ghost hunt?
Yeah, I am.
Now, I know you're always the skeptic when we go into places like this.
I am ready to shut down Waverly single-handedly.
Shut down Waverly's paranormal activity?
Yep.
Well, I think you're going to be in for a crazy time. We've got, of course, Mark and Debbie Constantino with that are going to be going in. They're super excited because this is the first time they've gotten a chance to go in and do an EVP sweep of Waverly. We are going to air some of those EVPs in the next few weeks. My goal here is to have on, I'd like to try to have Chris, Patrick, John Zaffis, the Constantinos, and a few of our other guests come on and share some of their stories about what happened, and also have some of the people that are here attending it with us share their stories as well. So we should have a good time. Look for the show in about 2-3 weeks to be an update of the Waverly Hills trip and all the evidence that we've collected over the next 2 days.
If they get anything.
Shut up. Listen, so here we are. Yeah. We've got, you know, I've tried to mix it up this month. I think we've done pretty good, right? Everybody was telling me, Dave, we love the show, but all you talk about are ghosts and psychics. And psychics and ghosts. And psychic ghosts.
And ghosts that are psychic?
Exactly.
Okay.
So, what have we had this month? We've had satanic murders, right?
We had a whole block of show where we just made put everybody down.
Yes, exactly.
Between the Amazing Randy and William H. Kennedy,
right? Amazing Randy.
Yep.
We had Amazing Randy. We've had William H. Kennedy talking about satanic cults. We've had a little UFO talk. We've had some.
We talked the year 2013 with 2013. My sugar mama.
That's
yep.
right.
Yep.
Marie Jones. So it's been a good month. Well, now here's something fun. We're going to talk to two gentlemen this evening. We've got a night of berries. What was it? 2-3 weeks ago, we had the Joneses.
Yes.
Denise Jones and Marie D. Jones on the show talking.
Yep.
And today we've got a handful of berries. Wow. That sounds fun.
And you know, a handful of berries will get you through a lonely night in the forest.
Oh, God, you're in
Wait,
trouble.
Wait, no, that doesn't.
So we've got two berries tonight. We've got Dr. Barry Taff is going to spend the first hour with us, and then we're going to talk to Barry Conrad in hour two. Tonight's focus is going to be a little off the beaten path from, I think, what these two gentlemen are most known for. You know, Dr. Barry Taff is a parapsychologist. He's been around, worked on some of the most fascinating cases, including the Entity case. And this is his second time, I believe. Second time or third time on the show?
Second time
on our show. And tonight we're going to talk to him about UFOs and the correlation of alien activity with the paranormal. So let's welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Good evening, Mr. Taff. How are you?
Fine. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Thanks a lot for coming and spending some time with us this evening. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I wanted to chat with you about something, you know, kind of off the beaten path. I know everybody leans on you for the ghosty stuff and to talk about ghosts and your extensive background in the paranormal, dealing with the spirit world. But you've got a grasp and an outlook on UFOs and maybe aliens' place in the whole field of paranormal as well that I wanted to kind of delve into a little bit more deeply. I think we scratched the surface of it on the first interview that we did with you. What can you tell us? I mean, do you find that there is a correlation between you know, UFO activity and ghosts or hauntings?
In general, yes. The best way to generically describe this is whatever these things are visiting the Earth, which have been going on for thousands of years since the dawn of human civilization, they may use forces of to control their technology. Let me reverse this. The way we use electromagnetism today to
right.
run the world,
mm-hmm.
they may use forces we call paranormal. It may be something more related to zero-point energy that does things that don't make sense in the physical world that we live in.
Well, what is zero-point energy?
Zero-point energy, basically, they used to think that vacuum space, it was just that empty, nothing. Now they're discovering there's a force of nature at work. I don't know if it's dark energy or dark matter, but the idea of zero-point energy, it doesn't produce heat. It may produce cold. It can do work in the sense of you see a 6'2" man like in our San Pedro case, Jeff Wheatcraft, being picked up and thrown in the wall and almost killed. That's the energy we know of in our world should not only produce heat, but he and his clothes and the surroundings should burst into flame long before he's moved. But if anything, the room gets colder before it happens. So it may use what we call zero point. Zero point may decouple us from gravity, may neutralize inertia. If we ever are able to unlock this, it may help power the world.
Well, do you believe that a lot of quote-unquote reported hauntings are nothing more than maybe just alien activity that we're misunderstanding? It's the sounds of the aliens cloaked, walking in our homes, checking us out, investigating us. Do you think that there's some validity to that?
Well, I think speaking of it in that way may be oversimplifying the matter. We have seen, or I've seen in my own research, and as well as many other researchers, there have been instances, not many, but enough to make this relevant. People, it begins as a poltergeist outbreak, and then it later turns into an abduction or a close encounter of the third kind. Or it begins as a CE3 or abduction, and then has paranormal fallout like healing or out-of-body experiences or poltergeist activity. And we don't understand what that link is. This type of connection has been spoken of for four decades. Dr. Jacques Vallée was the first person to discuss it. Passport to Magonia. A number of other books, Invisible College. He was the first person to ever demonstrate the not-so-apparent linkage between these things. What it means at this point, God only knows, although it appears whatever these things are visiting our planet, and they've been doing it, again, for probably hundreds of thousands of years, if not longer, seem to, like, take glee at manipulating our environment and watch how these little creatures, us, react. We had one of our good cases. It was in the late 70s, and it was an executive from a network out here, television network, and poltergeist activity. Went to his house. We didn't experience it, but we could see from the fear on the part of this man and his family that it was tearing them apart emotionally. It eventually stopped. Not long thereafter, they're taking a trip up in Northern California, he and his wife. They see what looked like a plane about to crash. They go to the area. It's in the hills. They get up there. They don't see a plane. They see a disc on the ground, tripod, landing gear. These little beings, definitely not human, too small to be human. The big heads, the large black eyes, the no outer ears, the no nose, and they're doing whatever they're doing. And this man and his wife froze in their car because they couldn't believe what they were seeing. And whatever these things were, these beings saw them. They aimed, looked like a rod or something with a glowing end at them. And they saw a light, and then the next thing I remember, they were back on the highway, and it was hours later. Subsequent to that, they both, the man and his wife, started having dreams about the classic abduction scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And, same thing, poked and prodded and manipulated in a very intrusive, invasive sense. And their family life broke down. The man basically quit his job because he couldn't focus. They got divorced, and I haven't heard from him in a number of years, but he was a pretty normal guy. He was very grounded. And whatever these things were, it totally unsettled him and his wife. Not just one case. The most provocative case occurred in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
This is very personal because I was dating a woman at the time who looked like a clone of a young Joan Collins and Liz Taylor. She's probably the most striking woman I've ever laid eyes on. We met on a poltergeist case. on Valentine's Day of 1977.
Right.
And I looked at her and went, oh, my God. And we ended up talking after that and talking. We ended up getting involved. We were dating. And so, let's see, the earliest thing that happened, she had a bad lower back, bad lumbar region. I was giving her a massage, and a ball of light came out of her the size of maybe four male fists. And I jumped back. It went up to the ceiling and was gone. Other things were happening, little tiny things indicative of poltergeist. Everything was fine. I started having these really bad dreams regarding her. And in the dreams, all I knew was it was July 22nd, and our relationship ended. Didn't know why. I knew what, but not why or how. I forgot it. Dreams kept reoccurring. July 22nd occurred. I forgot about it because I thought, maybe it won't be a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, wake up, morning of July 22nd. This woman is under the covers, and she won't come out. She's shaking. She's sobbing. She said, why didn't you help me? I was saying, what are you talking about? She goes, what are you talking about? When the room lit up, I go, what are you talking about? The room lit up. She felt herself being picked up out of the bed, levitated out. I was just completely unconscious. She tried to scream. She got part of a scream out. She couldn't scream. Then she woke up or came to again in a different environment, a large round room, metallic walls on a pedestal-like table in the middle, restrained in her ankles, her stomach, her wrists, and her neck. And these little men, she didn't say aliens, she said little men, their heads were disproportionately large, looked like an inverted pear. Again, no outer ears, no nose, no real voice, and they were poking and prodding her. And she was freaking out, but she didn't know what to do, and they're cutting her, and just horrible things. And I said to her before she came out from under the covers, do you know anything about UFO abductions? And she goes, what are you talking about? She was very interested in the paranormal, but when it came to UFOs, she just, don't bother me, it's a lot of crap. So finally, she comes out from under the covers. She's bleeding from her ear. She's bleeding from her nose, bleeding from her uterus. She wasn't menstruating, and bleeding from her rectum. On her back, her hair had been cut. There were little melon baller, which looks like someone took a little scoop and scooped out chunks of her skin.
Oh,
but the worst thing was, around her ankles, her wrists, her abdomen, her neck, were bands of black and blue, like constriction, like she was held tight or wounded there. And remember, this is 1977. There were no support groups for the stuff.
Right.
Psychologists, psychiatrists wouldn't touch it. She had a complete breakdown. A relationship pretty much ended at that point. Now, days later, I got calls from people who lived in the Hollywood area, which is where she lived, who they observed a strange, large ovoid, a reddish-orange thing hovering over the same area where her house was, this woman's house was. And at that approximate time, the power had gone out in a very restricted area, very localized region. Had this not occurred, whatever it was, very likely this woman and I would have been married within less than a year. So
thanks to the alien abduction, you dodged the bullet of marriage. Good job, Barry.
Yeah, I mean, why aren't you married? Well, I was almost married 31 years ago. Then my girlfriend was abducted and she lost her mind.
Yeah, that'll literally do it.
And the whole point of it is, what is this? What is going on?
Well, did she ever have any follow-up exams, Barry? I mean, was there any...
She was very terrified. And instead of thinking, this is a real event, because she didn't even believe in UFOs.
Right.
The thought of UFOs and aliens were alien to her, literally. You know, don't bother me. I heard from her over the course of time, and she apparently had subsequent abductions, more of them.
Oh.
What was odd is that her stepfather was a deputy station chief for the company, who at the time I was consulting with before. What do you do with this? I mean, where do you go?
Right.
We had another case years later in San Fernando Valley, exact area, very remote area. A woman, really nice lady, and she said things were happening in her house. Things were flying around, banging noises, furniture moving, things appearing and disappearing, strange balls of light, not little orbs, but huge balls of light. And these fireballs will roll down from the hills and hit her home and shake it. And, you know, she was a woman in her, late 40s, early 50s then. Really nice woman. And seemed to be pretty normal. So I said, when did all this begin? She goes, what do you mean? I said, what was the first odd thing you remember regarding these events? I was taking a walk behind some summer day, taking a walk, and she saw this strange object hovering in a little valley there, one of the canyons. And what was it? Well, it looked a mushroom, a cap mushroom, large mushroom. It was glowing reddish-orange, and she had strange feelings. It made her tingly, and that is when all the phenomena started happening.
Now, is there a way, you know, I mean, we talk about protecting yourself when you go into paranormal investigations. You know, are there ways to protect yourself from alien interference or alien abduction that you're aware of?
Well, since we don't know what it is we're dealing with,
right,
what type of technology we're dealing with, I mean, as I said, they use these forces we call paranormal the way we use electromagnetism. So when, you know, we talk about people being pulled through walls or objects appearing and disappearing, protection, I mean, it'd be like asking lab rats how they protect themselves against us experimenting with them.
Right.
What do you do? The paranormal, again, sometimes if people believe they'll be protected, they are, sort of like, you know, over the course of 4 decades with my work, we have found that, you know, when people come in to cleanse homes or whatever, a lot of times nothing happens. Sometimes it works because the people believe it'll work. And then, of course, it reasserts itself. It's sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy again.
Okay.
So the problem is, what is the link between UFOs and paranormal? We don't know.
There's cases of what's called shadow people. And I don't know how familiar you're with that phenomena. Have you dealt with shadow people quite a bit? And the question seems to be, a lot of people are saying that they think shadow people phenomena might be more alien activity or even kind of a subversive government agent that's able to cloak themselves and be in certain situations. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, in going back in the literature and UFO lore, you know, there were years, decades ago, there was the Men in Black.
Right.
But there's also situations where whatever these things are very, sometimes they're blatantly, they expose themselves blatantly to people. I mean, one of the shows that Barry Conrad, you know, my colleague, just finished doing, the first segment of three called Monsters of the UFO. This is Incident at Kelly, an incredible case in 1955 in Kentucky, where these strange creatures were seen and interacted with people, literally. They try to shoot them and kill them, and they grab one guy's hair and picked him up, and an extraordinary event, lots of witnesses. What's that?
Go on.
I mean,
yeah.
And Barry's doing two others I'm sure he'll be speaking about. One is the Flatwaters, West Virginia. Flatwoods, West Virginia. Great case, the early 50s. Another one, of course, is Mothman, which is, 66 through 67. And in the Mothman case, there was a great deal of paranormal fallout related to the UFO. I mean, every type of thing you can imagine, from apparitions to poltergeist activity to this. Again, what is it and why? We've got a few other cases over the decades where it appears there's a link to UFOs. And usually when people are abducted, from the literature that's been brought to the public so far, it isn't one event. It starts out when you're young and it continues for generations over time, as if they're studying this one person. When my girlfriend was abducted 31 years ago, she kept saying to me, why did they take me and not you? And what am I supposed to say? I said, well, she was a beautiful woman. Maybe they were just interested because she was so striking.
Right.
Or maybe there's a quality some people possess. We don't understand a physiological.
Or are they culling the eggs from the women, which is what I know a lot of them are talking about, so they can make the hybrids.
And hybridization.
Right.
Like I said, the work about Hopkins and other people, the people have been abducted. I don't believe every case that comes my way for obvious reasons. But it seems as though there's a pattern going on, and more than manipulation. Maybe these beings know something about our future we don't. Maybe they're developing another race of beings to inhabit another planet in the star system. Or the most disturbing scenario would be we don't survive for whatever reason. The environment breaks down or there's war, and they're creating beings to replace us once we fade from the picture. And there's really compelling evidence for the possibility, well, not possibly, for the fact, in my opinion, that the human race might in and of itself be the result of genetic engineering on the part of beings that came here over a million years ago. So we may owe our very existence to another race of beings that aren't human. If that's true, we have an inconceivable past and an unimaginable future. If this is true, and I believe it is, it would be the most, in my opinion again, the most damaging information could ever be released to the Western world. It could totally break down the infrastructure, the socioeconomic infrastructure of our society. We already have people running into holy wars, screaming their God's name. We have difficulty between white and black and red and yellow and brown. We can't get along with ourselves. You want to throw gray into the mix, and then people want to go to church on the weekend, on Sunday, and they suddenly, well, wait a minute. Why are we worshiping this God or God when we were made by another life form far more advanced than us? And it comes down to two things, in my opinion, again, that if the public becomes aware that our government they're not a God, they can't protect us, they can't control our airspace, two things happen. We lose faith in them completely. Domestic tranquility breaks down, and come April 15th, we stop writing checks. And the end of organized government. And I believe that if this information does exist, which I believe it does, and it was disseminated, it would be the most damaging thing in human history. I don't think anything good would come of it. Not at all.
Well, Barry, we got to take a quick break. Stay with us, and all of you, keep listening. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the Darkness on the Edge of Town. Stay tuned. There is more to come. If you bleed from the ears while listening to Leo Sayer Records, would it qualify as a paranormal experience? I thought so. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town. Ooh, that hurts.
You've got a cute way of talking. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, sitting across the board, Mr. Tim Dennis. Tim, we've got on the line with us Dr. Barry Taffin, who's just talking about UFOs, technology, and the things that are going on that could blow the lid off of a lot of things. You were mentioning a story that you read a few weeks back or saw in the news, correct?
Dr. Taff, there was recently a story that said that the rover on Mars had found nutrient content in the soil good enough for us to grow crops like asparagus, potatoes, and whatnot. It's been known in the past that they found ice on the surface of Mars. Is it your opinion then that possibly life could have come from Mars at one time, and maybe there was some catastrophic event that had happened there?
Well, I mean, I saw the effect, what you're referring to, I think I saw it on the news yesterday or the day before, and a couple different, I think CNN and some local network news shows. If there's enough nutrients in water, then things can grow. Maybe before men walked the face of Earth, maybe Mars had an atmosphere, and it did support some form of life, and it left. I mean, there was an interesting movie made with, I think it was 2000, called Mission to Mars with Gary Sinise.
Right,
and it was actually quite an interesting movie. I found it compelling because they find the face, they end up going into it, and they realize that, you know, Martians, for whatever beings there, left Mars when it was a cataclysm through some kind of impact, an asteroid destroyed the life potential of that planet. Some of them came here. Who knows? I find like when the face on Mars was first shown back. I forgot the name of the first book, City and the Edge of Forever, like an old Star Trek episode.
Right.
Really interesting book. There have been other subsequent books. And the fact that NASA has been so blatant in their denial of what's going on makes me wonder because, you know, again, the government doesn't want to disturb people. And I think we know why. The thing with Mars is intriguing because it certainly has enough gravity to support life, and if there was water at one point, that means the atmosphere is denser. The temperature will go up because the moisture will hold heat. So what broke it down? Are we seeing the future of Earth? It's fascinating. I don't think, we may be back on Mars in a manned sense, meaning with people, not for another 20 years, 25 years.
You think within 25 years we're going to be up there?
Well, it depends on money, literally. All depends on money.
Well, you know, we had Wayne Herschel on the show two times now. We had him on just, about 4 weeks ago, and we had him back 2 years ago, I guess, and he was talking about our place in the universe, and he believes that by overlaying the Mayan ruins, Aztec ruins, Egyptian ruins, and even the ruins on Mars with the face and what appears to be pyramids off to the side, he's able to show that these star maps line up with Pallades. In his theory and belief is that is kind of us showing a roadmap of where we came from. That's our place in the universe, is out there by Pallades, and we've at one time colonized Mars, and then now we're looking at, I guess it was some kind of major impact, and we escaped Mars and recolonized here on Earth. I've heard quite a few other scholars and people dip in on this theory and talk about it, especially because of, findings like the ruins on Mars. Do you lend any credence or credibility to that fact that, maybe the humans here on this planet, we are the visitors. We're just, this isn't our native area. And could that be why there's a huge gap in the evolutionary chain?
Yeah, basically, yes. I agree with most of what you said. The work that was a man who died, a really good researcher who died several years ago, called Leonard Stringfield, and he published a series of monographs and books with regard to the whole crash retrieval syndrome and evidence that we are the genetic descendants of these beings. And the question is whether they came from Mars or from some other stellar neighborhood, meaning outside of our solar system. We don't know, but there was some work, other evidence over the years indicating that the Earth had been visited with by well over a dozen different species. What I find really intriguing is that for the most part, almost all these beings seem to be bipedal. They have two arms, two legs, and a head. They walk erect. Unlike science fiction, everything seems to follow a certain pattern. The question is why? Again, it would be somewhat disheartening for people to realize that we're not who we think we are, and we may owe our very existence to something that we can't even conceive of today.
You brought up a good point with that if we concede to the fact, and it comes out from the government, that, yeah, we've been messed with, that would just totally, totally upheave religious views, religious stature, government stature. I mean, it would be a total reshaping of the look of where our lives have gone and where it could be going.
I think the government is very well aware of what's happening here. I mean, my belief is there are factions within the government, sort of a government within a government that deals with such matters, and the only people that know of these things are the people that have a need to know. It would have the highest security classification, well beyond nuclear development in the 40s.
Right.
When I used to lecture a lot on this when I was teaching in different adult schools, parapsychology at Beverly Hills High Adult School and other venues in Southern California, when we got to the UFO thing, or the cases, and the evolution of this phenomenon over the course of human history, and I pointed out to a lot of people that if, 2,000 years ago, if you saw a person being picked up in a shaft of light to a round silver cloud, well, that was rapture or ascension, or was God taking you to heaven. It happened today. We call that an abduction, right?
Right.
It's all the same thing. In fact, the Shroud of Turin. There's still there's questions about its authenticity. They did some carbon-14 dating, but they used part that was caught in a fire several centuries ago, and that adds more carbon, which alters the readout. Based on what I've read, and I've read several books on the subject, it looks like something was burned in the shroud by an event called flash photolysis. And the best way to describe this is when America nuked Japan at the end of World War II, people that were standing, the light, which is so bright from a nuclear detonation, just burned an image of these people into stone or sidewalks. It's called flash photolysis. Not the blast or the shockwave or the thermal pulse.
Right.
Just the light. And that might be what burned the image in Shroud.
So you think but that it could have just been like an irradiated burst that came out of either Christ or whatever helped him to ascend, that might have been what left the residue burn?
What if it's literal science fiction or science? You know, there's a force that basically that beamed him out of that shroud and took him up to the ship. I mean,
well, yeah, in the Bible, there's a mention of the chariot, the fiery chariot that came down, and I can't remember. I'm horrible with the whole religious statue, but isn't there a story where the fiery chariot came down in
Ezekiel?
Yeah, was it Ezekiel up to the sky? So he never truly died; he just vanished, and people assume that was just God's way of taking Ezekiel in reward for his service or whatever. And in fact, it's more along the lines of he was most likely abducted.
Well, I mean, throughout human history, there have been clear indicators that we are being visited. I mean, Alexander the Great, they painted things depicting, according to the logs that were kept back then, he had, I guess, encounters with burning shields that were harassing his troops and his men and his, you know, on his trips of conquest, flying shields with fire.
Right.
Well, no one on Earth was flying thousands of years ago. What did they see on numerous occasions? What did they see? Like I said, it goes back into ancient history, and there are incidents that are depicted in wood carvings going back to the Middle Ages showing these strange warlike things going on in the air over Europe. Well, who was that? No one was flying back then.
True.
And in ancient Indian texts, they talk about they actually have drawings of these incredible crafts that are saucers. I forgot the Vimanas or something, or that used energy, and they were fighting in the sky. And they used mercury as a power source. Nothing on Earth does that today. Nothing built here. I mean, there was incidents. I mean, several with the shuttle and going back to the 80s or 90s. I think we've all seen this where that the camera's shooting out over the curvature of the Earth, and you see something moving in a way that's bizarre, and suddenly you see a flash of light lower left side of the screen, a frame, a pulse of light moves up, and just before it touches the moving object, the object abruptly changes its vector. It moves away at a high rate of speed. Chris NASA's response was, it was an ice crystal. Right. You know, it's I guess, you know, until something lands on the White House lawn, no one's going to believe. And there's a lot of disinformation, that abomination of a special.
Well, we talked about the fact that, and we even had Bill Burns on the show quite a few weeks back talking about UFOs and the fact that they essentially did land on the on the White House lawn. They were buzzing the Capitol.
In 1952.
Right, and there's actual photographic evidence of these things hovering over the Capitol for hours, correct?
Right. July of 1952, two separate weekends, the Capitol was buzzed by UFOs, and there were pictures taken. Whatever these things were, achieved speeds of 9,000 miles per hour. Nothing, again, no V-2s basically got there raining down, in their descent, raining down on London, but I mean, so something was trying to get our attention.
Right.
And it did. Of course, the government's typical knee-jerk response was, oh, a bird's reflections off the ionosphere, or, you know, inversion layers, or just, you know, at what point do we stop listening to this and realize that something is going on? What I found interesting about the 1952 events, it was 1 year after the release of Day of the Earth Stood Still with Michael Rennie.
Oh, that's true.
And so, you know, we see that, and then a year later, it's like, oh, look, it's real. I found that fascinating. I was just on the other day. That's why I bring it up. And my guess is until, like, when they brought out that, in the mid-90s, that show Alien Autopsy on Fox.
Right.
Then it was later proven to be a hoax. So they bring it out, telling people it's real. And then several years later, they bring in another documentary, debunking their own documentary. To me, in intelligence work, the best place to hide the truth is between two lies. When you discover the lies, you throw the truth out with the lies. The clever method has been used and whatever. And who knows what the motivation was for developing that documentary or shooting, setting up those scenes which weren't real. So then in the future, if something like that really occurs, the public's going to say, yeah, we've seen that before. It's a hoax. You're desensitizing people.
Well, and it certainly seems like, of course, money motivation. It got people to tune in by the millions to see the alien autopsy and then to then debunk it and show what they were able to do. That, was a good follow-up and almost made them look like they were being more responsible than they truly were.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. You don't know which end is up, people. And then you've got all the wackos and the crazies out there. Oh, they're having dinner with aliens. They're having affairs with... Billy Meyer case got really big in the 70s, then over the next decade, I mean, every dingbat was coming out of the woodwork. Oh, I'm having an affair with one of the alien cosmonauts, some Yazi. I'm going, yeah, right. And, then invariably the disinformation starts. Oh, they found models in their attic. They found this. As we well know now, our government went to great lengths with the media back in the 50s and the 60s to keep people from panicking. And for good reason. I mean, I understand their motivation. But in the end, you can't keep the truth from everyone all the time. I mean, the 1997 Phoenix lights were extraordinary. Yes, there was
definitely
an incident of flares, but the original lights weren't flares. People saw objects that blotted out the sky. Lots of people.
We have to take our second break here, Dr. Taft. Bear with us. We'll be right back. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you join us in the live chat room as well. We'll be back with more right after this.
The New York Times has raved about the show. The Star Tribune says it's paranormally funny. And the Biscayne Bugle said, how could they put this crap on the air and live with themselves?
I am so sorry for everything that has happened. Because in spite of what Mike says now, it is my fault. Because it was my project. Everything had to be my way. And this is where we've ended up.
Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town. When Dave was a young boy, he once awoke to find himself staring directly into the eyes of a shadow person. Turns out it was just his life-size cardboard cutout of Donny Osmond.
Go away, go. Go away, go.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're here with you every Sunday night from 10 to midnight Central Time. We also have a live chat room going, so you can come in and join and talk with other like-minded individuals about the paranormal. Talk about the show, talk about your lives, and talk about the things that are going on in your world in the paranormal. You can also seek help there. We usually have a bunch of paranormal groups that are in there, and we'll offer up suggestions and help if you're having issues. We're going to go back into tonight's show. Our guest is Dr. Barry Taff, and we're talking about UFOs and alien abductions and all the fun stuff and involved in the alien world. Dr. Taff, with the popularity right now of the paranormal so high and things seeming to get a little bit more clear with technology, how long do you think it'll be before the lid is totally blown off the UFO cover-up, and are we going to eventually see proof that aliens are here and that we are dealing with them 100% so people can't discount it?
The fact that the government has done, well, I should say the government, it's a faction of the government, has done such an extraordinarily good job of dissuading people and putting out disinformation and misinformation, I don't really see anything dramatic happening, given all the crashes that have occurred. I mean, Roswell being only one of them, and it's been concealed. If people don't read, they don't know what's going on. And unfortunately, the Internet has a lot of good information, also has a lot of incorrect information about the paranormal and, of course, ufology. But I don't really think, I don't know. There's that with the Mayan prophecy that in 2012, December 21st, Quetzalcoatl is going to return. Well, that will be interesting, but I'm not going to hold my breath. There was an incident that happened in 1908 Tunguska, Siberia. A lot of people call it Tunguska event, Tunguska blast. So some researchers first thought it was a meteorite. Nope. Asteroid. Nope. So now some people said it was some antimatter. No. Or a black hole went to the Earth. No. There was a really good book written years ago called Tunguska, Cauldron of Hell, Tunguska, by late 70s, early 80s. And the Russian researchers, well, then it was Soviet, I guess, or Russian, their evidence showed that whatever came in and exploded a mile over the Tunguska tundra, it stopped briefly. It changed its vector path, meaning it moved on its own, indicating it was under intelligent control before it detonated. And some Soviet researchers and I believe that what exploded was a starship. And if that happened today over any place of the Earth that was populated, it would start World War III.
Yeah, no doubt.
So before anyone on Earth knew anything about the term nuclear, they estimate one estimate that whatever exploded was the equivalent of 40 megatons. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And people were blown off their feet many, many miles away, and vaporized trees, and you look at the below whatever detonate hypocenter, the trees were flattened, and it looks like what happens in nuclear detonation that we know of. Not a good thought.
No.
But that's only one event. Of course, it could be something natural. We don't know, but you look at something like Fatima, Portugal, 1970.
Right.
The three kids saw the being, and they heard the woman talking, and then the very end, as it showed in the movie, and it's written up in many books, they saw what they thought was the sun descending to the earth. It was raining heavily, and suddenly it was dry, and suddenly people who were sick were healed spontaneously, which is another element of fallout, paranormal fallout from UFO contact on occasion. And what isn't known is many years that two of those children died relatively soon. They didn't live that long. Their bodies were exhumed many, many years later, and an autopsy was done. And the cause of death was then determined to be radiation exposure. Radiation exposure?
Really?
From what? There was no radiation on the Earth, ionizing radiation on the Earth at that time. Not that it was man-made. So what killed them? Intriguing. There have been a few books written on.
Well, I never knew the follow-up on that. And wasn't the third, she was a nun working with the Pope for quite a few years, correct?
And right, and you know, one of the prophecies given, the two of them were about the wars. And the third one they came out with a few years ago, allegedly saying that, you know, this would happen or that, and it was irrelevant. What they talked about had no meaning. It was like trivia. I got a feeling that the third prophecy was a little more disturbing than what we were told.
Right.
You might feel. But again, what happened? Thousands of people saw this. What was it? Are we being manipulated? Unquestionably. Are we dealing with a vastly superior technology visiting Earth? Yes. Is their technology so advanced it's indistinguishable from magic? Yes. Can it be called paranormal? Yes. Can we trust our perception around these things? No. And again, why are they like abducting certain people and not others? If I were these beings, whatever we're dealing with, we know they're curious. Well, so are we.
Right.
Well, if I were these beings, I would pick people that fit a certain criteria, which we don't understand yet, fulfilled a certain requirement on their end, but also maybe beings they could manipulate with greater ease. To be fighting with this specimen or this whatever, why deal with them? I wouldn't be a good person to abduct simply because I wouldn't want to come back. Just tell me how to fly the damn thing.
Right.
Explain your propulsion technology, your avionics. You know, how do you navigate? You know, and where are you from and what's your power source? So I'm not what they're looking for. So the question is, where does one thing end and where does the other begin? We don't know. But, you know, like I said, we know now, clearly, that most of the phenomena we're dealing with in the paranormal comes from us. Nature abhors a vacuum. We're talking about paranormal in terms of ghosts and apparition, poltergeist activity. It seems that we are intimately involved with this, meaning we living people and whatever else is there. The environment interacts with us, and then voila. The old adage, if a tree falls in a forest and there's no one there to witness it, does it still make a sound? Well, in this case, no. What is it? Like I mentioned, Barry Conrad's videos, which the current one's out. He's working on the last two segments. UFOs. This is the best probably chronicled incident of these events, because besides doing wonderful recreations, which are very precise and detailed graphic recreations, he is able to find some news clips and historical references documenting what happened on these three incidents: Kelly, Kentucky; Flatwoods, West Virginia; and the Mothman. The movie on the Mothman several years ago with Richard Gere, I thought Gere did a good job, but the film was well made, but it just kind of made a mockery of the whole Mothman thing.
Crazy. Yeah, that was not. I didn't think a very well done show at all.
I mean,
I don't think it had anything to seriously do with the real events of it, other than that something was seen.
It was sad. I mean, because there was so many witnesses to these things in West Virginia. So many. I mean, it just, and here, 40 years later, we're still scratching our heads. The problem is, we're not good at studying ourselves. It's just, you know, we don't know how to do it that well. And since we're very much involved with all of this, it's hard to become objective. So, I mean, all I can say is this, in the end, if you're having a lot of paranormal experiences, you may, underline the word, may be more likely to have a UFO encounter. If you have a UFO encounter, whatever it is, the C1, the C3, or an abduction, you're far more likely to have paranormal fallout. What that means, we don't know. But we've seen this over and over again, and, you know, what do we do with it? We wait.
Are you finding with reports that you look into, are there ever any other crossovers with, cryptozoological beings around sightings of UFOs or sightings of ghosts and heavily saturated paranormal areas?
There's all kinds of scuttlebutt that's been around for decades, like the chupacabra, whatever that is or was.
Right.
You know, and then, of course, in the history of UFO, there are different types of beings that have been perceived. The most common, of course, are little gray guys. Then there's tall Nordic blondes, and, you know, they look very human. Then there's sometimes insectoid creatures or reptilian creatures. And then others seem to be like short, furry beings with glowing eyes, the hyper-reflective retinas. I don't think it's just one race visiting here. I think we've been visited by numerous races over the course of time. But I think that whoever made us, but the experiment is still ongoing. And in science, when you're doing an experiment with people or life forms, you never tell them what you're doing until the experiment is complete. And I do not believe the experiment is complete here. I think it's still ongoing.
Do you think that's something to do with the rise of what people are calling the crystalline or indigo children? Do you think that that is a hybridization of the alien race and our race coming more together? And is that preparing us for a changeover?
I wouldn't even speculate on that. All I know is that the phenomenon of UFOs is far more complicated than we once believed, and the paranormal is definitely a part of it. I mean, going back to the early work of Jacques Vallée, and his writings have been superb. He's done some excellent writing. The problem is, in the end, we're still left with that question mark hanging over our head. What are we dealing with? We don't know. Are there children walking the earth that are hybridized? I'll tell you one thing. When I was looking at books of some of these people, or, you know, photos, or I should say drawings, I found myself strangely attracted to the image. Try to explore, what's that all about? The little nose, the huge eyes, the high cheekbones, the tapered jaw, the small mouth. I'm going, why am I fascinated, attracted to this?
That would explain Winona Ryder's, you know, appeal, I guess.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, over the course of time, it's interesting. If I went back and posted pictures of all my girlfriends that were dating, you'd see the commonality, the same look over and over and over and over. And, you know, when the stuff became popular, I went, that's odd, because all my girlfriends have had real large almond eyes, little noses, and a lot, if you look at them and take away the hair, they look like aliens. Why? I don't know. Kind of kinky. It's the lowest light complex.
No doubt. Well, Dr. Taft, thank you very much for the spending an evening with us here and talking a little bit about UFOs and talking about the different side of the paranormal from the realm I think most people are familiar with you with. And we'll look forward to seeing. Now, is there a site or information people can go to get updates on where you're going to be or book signings or anything that's going to be going on?
No, I'm not right now. I'm again trying to sell my book. I'll be talking to some literary agent within a week. And I'm in the process of developing a couple of TV series, three scripted and two reality. But, you know, God knows if we'll get out of what's called development hell.
Well, we wish you the best of luck with that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I hope that things will flip around for you on that, and we'll see more of you on TV and more of your thoughts and shows. So, Dr. Taft, thank you very much, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in the future here.
Pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you. And good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for spending your time here with us. We're going to be back. Stay tuned. We're going to be back with Barry Conrad talking more about the monsters of the UFO. We'll be back right after this.